If you will, turn with me to Mark 4, into Mark 4, starting in verse 35. Mark 4:35, and we're going to be reading through verse 41. And if you will, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. It says this: On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ability to read it, to hear it preached, to meditate on it. And I pray that this morning that we would see your word for what it is. We would be moved by it. And by the power of your Spirit, we would be hearers and doers of your word. I pray these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been talking to someone who will speak as if they are absolutely sure of something, but they won't ever act as if it's the case? Or at least they won't do so in any serious manner. I want us to imagine for a second a rock climber. A rock climber who says he is absolutely confident and his ability to climb a towering rock wall without any harness or any rope. He speaks like he has no fear in the world of doing so. He'll just climb right up it, nothing attached. However, every time he steps up to climb the wall, he won't go a few feet off the ground without getting scared, putting on a rope and a harness, and then continuing the climb. What would we say about this man? We would say that he doesn't seem to have the confidence in himself that he talks about. We'd also probably say that it's pretty stupid to do that, to climb without a rope. Nevertheless, if he were to act in the same way that he spoke, he would climb without that rope. And I think that is what the text is showing us today. I think it's showing us a similar idea. We see a group of men who speak as if they have great faith in Christ. Sometimes they'll even take a few steps after him, a few steps of faith. However, as soon as they begin to look down and they see the ground disappearing away from them, they compromise. We see that they don't actually have the faith in Christ that it seems like they might. And I think this same thing happens to us far, far too often. We speak as if we have great faith in Christ. And we should. We should speak that way. We'll even take steps of faith following him. But when things begin to seem unsure, we question Christ. And we don't act as if we have the faith in Christ anymore. Hopefully, by God's grace, the text today will show us why we should have faith in Christ in all situations. So to begin, I just want to walk through the story. I want to look at it, and I just want to take note of what's happening in this story. So Jesus had been teaching along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And then the text says, one evening he told his disciples, "Let's get in a boat and let's go to the other side." And as they were going across the Sea of Galilee, which is a wide lake in some parts, a violent storm blew up. The Sea of Galilee, I don't understand this completely, but where it sits geographically, it's prone to these type of storms that whip up really fast and become very violent. So it's not out of the norm for this type of thing to happen. But this storm was violent enough that even some of the experienced fishermen on the boat began to fear for their life. Presumably, they tried to fix the issue themselves, we could say. They began getting buckets and throwing water over the side and doing all their precautions that are necessary. But they were still afraid. I mean, they're afraid that they're going to die. But of course, what was Jesus doing during all of this? Well, he was asleep on a cushion, taking a rest. They then decided that they would wake Jesus. And I like to imagine that this was a quite funny conversation between the disciples on whose job it was to go ask Jesus what is going on and who's going to save us. Unfortunately, they didn't simply just wake Jesus. They woke him with a question. They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then Jesus woke up. He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the rebuking didn't stop there. In fact, he turns to his disciples, and then he rebukes them for their lack of faith. He asks, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" The disciples remain fearful and then begin to talk to one another, and they ask this important question: "Who then is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This story, this text, it shows us two important things. And they're the two things that I want us to see this morning as we look through the text. The first one is this: the lack of faith from the disciples. The lack of faith from the disciples. Throughout this story, we see that the disciples were lacking faith. They simply didn't trust that Jesus would take care of them, even though he is the one who said, "Let us go to the other side." We know this is the case because what happens? They wake him with this terrible question. And I'm going to call it a terrible question because it really is a terrible question. And we'll see that as we go. This question demonstrates their lack of faith. Now, someone could ask the question here, but did Christ promise that none of his disciples would die on the way? Well, no, he didn't promise that. He didn't say that. So why were they wrong to ask Christ this question? Weren't they just asking him, "Hey, are you going to take care of us? It seems like we're going to die here." After all, he hadn't told them otherwise. But let us consider who is on the boat and what the disciples know about who is on the boat. Christ, the Messiah, is on the boat. And yes, he said, "Let us go to the other side," implying that he would indeed take them to the other side. But more than that, we know that the Messiah is not going to die in a mere boating accident. That's not who the Messiah is. If he were to die on the boat in the storm, he wouldn't have fulfilled the reason that he came to earth: to make atonement for our sins. If Christ would have just died, if the storm would have gotten too strong that the boat just filled with water and sank and Jesus is no more, he's not the Messiah. But he is. The disciples should have known this. They should have known that the Messiah wasn't going to die in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. They should have remembered who Christ is. He is the Messiah, and they should have known this. They should not fear. They shouldn't lose faith. They should have said, "If Christ, the Messiah, is on this boat, I am okay." Instead, they forget who is on the boat. They forget who Christ is, and they demonstrate their lack of faith. We also see that their faith should have been built up by the previous parables that were told to them. So we know what Romans 10:17 says: "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Their faith should have been growing through the teaching of Christ, but instead, they didn't let it grow their faith. Right? They had been hearing Jesus teach day in and day out, hearing the word of Christ, and it should have been building in them faith, but it doesn't seem like it's been doing that. The disciples simply didn't want to put their faith in Christ when the dangerous times came. They were fine with following him along the coast. They're even fine with getting on the boat with him. These little steps of faith that they're taking. But when they were scared, when things became dangerous, when they feared for their life, they did not put their faith in Christ anymore. So I want to ask you this, ask us this. When things become unsure, do we do this? When things become unsure, when things seem dangerous, when they seem scary, do we lose sight of who Christ is? Do we forget who Christ is, the Messiah? However, even after Jesus calmed the storm, and this is interesting, even after he calmed the storm, when they should be saying, okay, we're safe, all is good, what does the text say? It says they were filled with great fear. So you would think when the storm stops, when the boat stops filling with water, when everything seems okay, maybe just give it a thumbs up and say, thanks, Jesus, that was really cool. But they don't. They're filled with great fear. What's happening? Why? Because they begin to realize who's standing on the boat with them. That question that they didn't believe earlier, Christ is the Messiah. Now they're beginning to realize who he is. And so they ask this question, who then is this? Who then is this? And that's point number two. Who then is this? I think this question may be the most loaded question in all of history. I mean, it is absolutely loaded. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I would even argue the Christian faith itself hinges on this question. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Is he made up? Is he just an imagination? Is he just a good moral teacher? Is he a self-centered, delusional man who said he was God, but he was just another guy like us? Is he just a man? Just merely a man? Or is he the Son of God? Fully God, fully man. I think this text shows us the answer to this question. In verse 38, we see that Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. And I think, and this happened to me, at my first reading of this text, I sort of read over that rather quickly. Like, oh, Jesus is asleep, no big deal. And I think we're tempted to do that. But I think we're going to be missing out on something beautiful in this story. What we're seeing here with Jesus asleep on a cushion in the stern of the boat, we're seeing the humanity of Jesus Christ after a day of teaching along the Sea of Galilee. Jesus simply wants to rest. He just wants to lay down and go to sleep. And there's something, it's hard to put words to it. There's something almost beautiful about this picture. There's something beautiful about the picture of our Savior being tired at the end of a day and just wanting to rest. The God-man simply wanted to lay down and rest on the boat after a day of teaching. Our Lord, he knows what it means to be tired. That's not a foreign thing to him. We see this in the text. He knows what it feels like to labor all day long, to work. He knows what it feels like to get home and to be tired and to want to rest. This image of Jesus laying down after a day of work should remind us of the fact that Jesus was not only fully God, but he was fully human as well. Our high priest, our great high priest, he knows our pains and our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be tired. So if we were to answer the question, who then is this? Well, one thing we could say is, he's a man. I mean, he's like us. He gets tired. He is fully man. However, this text shows us that Jesus is not merely a man. There's more to the story. He's not merely a man, though he is fully a man. In verse 39, we see Christ simply speak, to the wind and the sea. By the power of his voice alone, he commands the wind to cease. And what did it do? What did it do? It ceased. Verse 39, the wind and the waves ceased simply by the speaking of Jesus. And it's important that we see here that Jesus didn't pray for the wind to cease. He didn't ask the Father, can you please calm the storm? He's not praying to God and asking him for him to do this. He simply spoke. He simply just spoke and it stopped. And this shows us that Jesus isn't like us. He isn't praying to God and asking for the waves to stop. No, he's simply saying it, and it's happening. This is why when the disciples asked the question, "Who then is this?" they added something to the end of that question. They didn't just stop there. What did they add? They said, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The disciples know that a man cannot do this. A man can't stop the wind and waves simply by his voice. Only God can do that. Yes, they know that maybe a man could pray to God and that would happen. But Jesus just commanded it to do so. I mean, imagine standing on the boat and someone standing on a boat and there's this terrible storm and this man just stands up and he says, "Stop." And it stops. I mean, we would just be in awe of this happening. Clearly, this isn't just a man. No man can do that. Right? They could have been thinking something along the lines of Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, which says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are? O Lord, with all your faithfulness, with your faithfulness all around you, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still then." Only the Lord God of hosts has the power to rule this raging sea. So who is Jesus? Is he just a man? No, he's the Lord of hosts. Only he has the ability to do this. So if we were to answer the question now, after seeing the full story, and we said, "Who then is this? Who then is this? He's the Lord of all creation. He's the Creator himself. He's the beginning, the end, the Alpha, Omega. He's the King of kings. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is Jesus. He is God. Fully human, fully God. That is who Jesus is. Who then is this? This is God. God is on this boat. God himself is on this boat. This man, Jesus, who needs rest, who needs both rest at the end of a long day and who can simply speak and calm the storm by his words, is the God-man, Jesus Christ. I want us to think for a moment, though, back to this rock climbing analogy from the beginning. And like I said, it's really, really stupid, right, to climb a wall without a rope. I mean, that's just, you could die so easily. Just one slip, that's it. It's stupid. We shouldn't do that. But, you know, even if it would demonstrate that this man really did believe what he said, that he really did have confidence in his abilities, and he asked us, "Should I do this?" We'd probably be like, "You know, you may be confident, but you probably shouldn't do that. You know, probably put on a rope and a harness." But there's a great difference between trusting a mere man's abilities and trusting in the God man. Our faith, what we believe, it's not resting on our abilities. It's not resting on our abilities. It is resting on the God man who has power over all creation, who can speak to the storms and they stop. And I can't help but think about what Jesus could have said to the disciples after they woke him with that question. When they woke him and they asked, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" I mean, think about what Jesus could have said. He's asleep. They come up to him. They say, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" He could have looked at them and said, "Do I care? Do I care that you're perishing? Why do you think I came here? Why did I come to earth? I came here to save you. I came here to die for you. Do I care that you're perishing? I came here to lay down my life so that you may have everlasting life. Do I care that you're perishing?" I mean, think about the absurdity of that question and how Jesus could have responded. Brothers and sisters, I think we are so tempted to throw our faith out the window when the storm comes. It's so tempting. We may try to fill buckets of water and throw them over the edge, do all that we can, because we just don't want to put our faith in Christ. We want to control the whole situation. And then when we do go to Christ, man, we ask the wrong questions. Do you see me? Do you care that I'm dying? Do you care that we're perishing? When life gets hard and you feel the weight beginning to pull you under, we cannot lose faith. We cannot lose faith in the God-man. And don't be mistaken, there are going to be times where things are going to be scary. I mean, it's going to happen. We live in a sinful, fallen world. It's going to happen. Things are going to be scary. When all your plans, all your ambitions, your five-year plan, so to speak, just slowly begins to fall apart before your eyes. I mean, everything that you had dreamed of, it's right there, and then right before you get it, it crumbles. I mean, what are we going to do when that happens? When you feel paralyzed by every single decision you make, I mean, you're just on pins and needles worried that every step you take is going to be a wrong one. You just won't take a step in faith because you're scared constantly. Or maybe you feel as if Christ has turned away from you. Right? You've done something that He knows about, no one else knows about, but He knows about it. And you think, Christ, you're embarrassed of me. Right? You may call me a son and daughter, but you don't like doing it. Right? You're embarrassed to call me a son and daughter. When those times come, and they will, do not lose faith. Do not lose faith. Our faith is not a blind hope. We don't have faith in things completely unseen, right? We've seen Jesus do things for us time and time again. Right here, we see Him simply speak to the wind and the sea and save these people by His voice. Our faith is not blind hope, but it's rooted in a man who can simply command the winds and the waves to stop by His voice. Our faith is found in Christ, who died on our behalf. Why? So that we may have eternal life. So when the scary times come, don't be found asking, Christ, do you not care that I'm perishing? Can't you see that I'm sinking? I mean, can't you see that everything I had is falling apart? Can't you see that I'm struggling? Can't you see that we're dying? He sees this. Don't ask those questions. Instead, remember that Christ is the Messiah. Do what the disciples didn't do here. Remember that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, we haven't been promised easy, safe lives on this earth. We may be on a hypothetical boat, and it may actually sink. I mean, that could happen. Christ has not promised us a safe and easy life. We could die in a storm that comes. But our hope isn't that this life is easy or that this life is just awesome through and through, though we do have joy in Christ. But we are promised eternal life. When this life fades away, we have eternal life in Christ. And we must live with this hope. We must live with this hope. We must live with faith in Christ, who gave us this sure hope, who came to earth, who died on our behalf, atoning for our sins so that we may have eternal life in Him, not having to face the wrath of God. I mean, that's our reality. That's not a far-fetched imagination, something we hope in that this may be true. It is true. It is true of us. And it has practical implications for how we live our life. Maybe we should spend more time asking this question. The question that the disciples ask. Who then is this? Consider this question. Consider who then is this? I mean, think about this throughout your day. Look to the Word of God and see who He is. The answer's there. Who is he? He's God. Jesus Christ is God. And we have so much scriptures showing us the nature and character of God, of Jesus Christ. So run to the scriptures and see who he is. And when we do this, let this build up your faith. Let it foster in you a faith that has confidence. So even when the storm comes, you have confidence that Christ will take care of you. And whatever means that may look like, we have faith in Christ that this will happen. Remember who it is that has power over all creation. Jesus, the man who knows what it's like to be tired, he also has power over all creation. And that's who our faith is in. Remember that he calls you sons and daughters. The man who has the power by his words to make the winds and the waves cease. He calls you sons and daughters. And he means it. You are sons and daughters of Christ. Our faith is in Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. So let us be men and women who live as if this is the case. When the storm comes, and it will, put your faith in Christ. Don't question, do you not care that we're perishing? He does. Who then is this? He's Christ. He died for us. He loves us. And our faith in him will be what helps us get through those times. Because we know that though this world may pass away, we are going to an everlasting life in Christ. Let's pray. God, we're so tempted in scary times to want to seize control of the situation, to do all that we can, because we just don't want to have faith. We just don't want to live as if you are the God of all creation. And so I pray that by the power of your Spirit, we'd be men and women who live confident in who you are, confident that what you have said is true. So when things become scary, when things become hard, when everything seems to be falling apart, we just rest. We just rest in who you are, the God-man who loves us, who calls us sons and daughters. So I pray that this word would penetrate our hearts and that we'd be men and women who live as if it's the case. In your name I pray. Amen.